Hey. Hi.
Can I say something?
Yeah, you can say something. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to thank Isabel and Judy and Calvin for sharing their questions. I know they're very personal, but I also feel very touched by those. Like I felt like a deep inside there were questions that eventually I will ask myself, or I already did. So thank you. Each one of them.
Thank you. Okay, let's start the second Q&A. Who would like, we can go in the same order or different, doesn't matter. Who would like to go first?
Pro probably I'm more fresh.
Yeah.
If you guys agree.
Sure,
Okay,
go ahead.
thank you. So my second question, I wanted to be like very specific about my question, so I kind of prepared this for like a 3 month 2 months. So where is the point where I can make the difference between being a creator and being a master? You get out there what you create, you face there what you create, but a master doesn't really care about what others think. There's any fine line between those two that me just speaking my truth. We not need to prove anyone anything, but I know my truth can hurt a lot of people. So I should be aware at some point how I say things or from the creating part is because there's a part of me that is still needs to learn something from what I'm creating. Does it make sense?
Partly. okay, when you draw a distinction between creator and master, yeah, it's not entirely clear to me because a master is almost fully aware, so he or she will create automatically what is the most joyful and to experience, right? I mean, we are all creators, whatever, if we can create very unconsciously or consciously, so we are automatically all creators. So, but it depends a bit on the definition. But you said something else, like you also said, like if I truly say what I think and feel, or then I may hurt people.
That's the feeling. That's the
Yeah,
feeling.
like if you're really honest, then they could be hurt.
It
So
still triggers me the idea of maybe my truth can be so deep that nobody understands it, but I should allow myself to speak my truth.
Yeah, so I would like to go into this. Maybe we can go back to this other point later. Okay, so I channel Yeshua now. So there is a kind of wisdom inside of you, and at the same time, there's a lot of compassion you have towards other people. And but right now, because you're still working on this wound that we talked before, these two can lead a separate life. Like there's this wisdom, like you really know things, but you also have this compassion and you don't want to hurt people's feelings and you don't want them to feel somehow offended by what you say. And then you get the feeling that you have to hold back this knowingness, this wisdom, because you don't want to hurt people. But when you are more clear about your boundaries and not giving too much, then you can have your wisdom, you can feel it, but you can tune into other people and just know what to tell, what to say to them and what not to say. Because sometimes you may know something, but it's just not useful to say to other people, either because they don't understand, and there will not be a powerful or joyful dynamics between the two of you when you say it. So when you are at home with yourself, when you are balanced with this giving and receiving flow, then it doesn't mean you will just say anything to people because you feel it's true. You will use this gift of empathy. You will use it to tune into others and feel what is appropriate to say. And if you decide not to say certain things, it will not feel like you are suppressing yourself. It will feel like it's your choice to only share part of what you feel. Is that clear?
Yeah, it's just even I get triggered by others, or well, sometimes with Calvin, because he speaks his truth for the most part. And we agree that is not speaking your truth, it's just the way you say it. And I'm totally agree. But and then when he's just being so himself so much, which is fine. I sometimes I'm like, oh my God, this person is gonna be like mad about it, or you know, like I get triggered how people are gonna react, and I should care or I shouldn't care, even if he's saying it in a nice way.
This question is really about boundaries. So yeah, it's okay to say no. That's the shortest way to summarize it. Sometimes you feel that you need to put up a boundary. And of course, people can be offended by it, but that's really their business. That's really up to them to solve this psychologically inside. You don't have to take care of how other people feel when you say no or tell them that you don't like certain things, don't want certain things, or that you're leaving, or so you're not responsible for what they feel. If you feel true about this, that this is how you feel, this is what you want, then you should truly feel free and let other people process their own emotions about that. Is that, you understand?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah,
It's just probably this empathy or worrying about people that I've been carrying my whole life. It's that
worry.
I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to make people uncomfortable. And I've been putting boundaries, but and then there's still situations out there that trigger me. And now I was, should I care or should I should not? And Calvin, in a good way, he doesn't care. And he's with him because, you know, we both get to go deep on this as much as we want. And we can talk about this for hours. And yeah, he's my mirror. I'm his mirror. So I do learn a lot about him. And for Calvin, it's just so easy to be him in all situations, all environments with everyone. That is very inspiring. But in there's certain things that I'm like,
Yeah. So In the beginning, in the first question, we talked about that the wounded part of you would like to feel so close to someone else, almost like merging, because then the wound seems to be dissolved, even for just for some moments. And this, but in any mature relationship, there will be moments of strong connection, and that can be blissful, but there will also inevitably be moments of misunderstanding and the need to completely like withdraw in your own world, which is very okay. It's not a sign of that there's something wrong in itself. That's not a sign of something being wrong with the relation that you have or the friendship with someone, but to live with this. With both, that you can be connected and disconnected, and that you each have to solve your own issues. This is very important to accept as part of a mature relationship. And the inner child would like to always feel close and connected with someone. But this is a kind of dream that it doesn't help you to grow and evolve. And to live with the pain of sometimes feeling disconnected, this will help you to see that even that you will that you can take care of yourself while having this pain. Is that Do you understand?
Yeah, it's just, I don't want to get too personal, but I've gone through a lot. Like, wow, that I'm impressed about all these things that I've gone through, all these things that I created in order for me to learn. There's a part of me that still loves deeply, it still feels connected to the universe. I still believe deeply that, there was a purpose, and now I see it. And there's some type of synchronicity going on in my life that is, it's insane how easy things are coming to me now. But I never received that type of love or that type of, because there was always a struggle. There was always something that I needed to do. There was extra hours of working in order for me to get something. Now it's coming to me easy, and sometimes it's even easy. It's hard for me to accept that type of energy, but I'm learning to accept that. So it's just me. I don't know if there's a part of me that is still hurt, or it's just the empathy or the compassion that is naturally in me. So it puts me like in the middle, and sometimes I just don't know which way to go.
Okay. Yeah, I hear Yeshua say something. He says, it's okay to be angry. How do you re what these words, what how do you feel about it? When he it's okay to be angry.
Yeah, I guess it's okay.
Yeah. It's like you somehow not allow it seems that somehow you think that's not okay.
It might be.
He says it's just some can be very healing sometimes to, for example, some things happen to you or people things that people said or did to you, and you just feel like very angry about it and hurt at the same time. And just to let that be. Don't force yourself to feel peaceful or compassionate or forgiving. Just let that anger be. Because this anger can also be very grounding. Like that you don't always have to understand everything that someone else does to you. Right? If you are too much of an empath, you can be so, always see things from
Available.
their perspective. And And then you cannot really feel your own anger, which is a natural response to some actions that some things that happen. And so it's like, yes, you're saying it's okay, just be angry and use this anger to because anger is like an it's a fire, it's an energy. You don't feeling it doesn't mean that you become aggressive to someone else, just that you allow this energy to be there, and it can also be turned into something creative.
Yeah.
It's also like it would nurture your masculine energy if you allow yourself sometimes to just be angry. But
Yeah,
that's
and
a
I've been
very
doing this test as well with my family, because I can actually, but with my family, because we all went through a lot, with my family, it's hard to be angry. It's hard to put boundaries. It's hard to, and I'm getting there. And there's some family members that just walk away. I literally just talk to my mom now. And yeah, but I know it's been my thing. I don't, anything can happen out there, but not with my family. And now my soul is like, even with the family, you have to put boundaries. And I'm in that path now.
Yes, right. That's very good because, yeah, because especially family can really trigger you emotionally. But anger is usually in its pure form is just a sign that you need a boundary, that you need to put a boundary. That's all. And so by allowing yourself to feel it, you know that there's a need for a boundary there.
Yeah, you just don't want to do the work because it's scary and it's too
It's
hard.
scary, yes, it's scary because it touches this wound, the child wound, and but there therefore it's also an occasion to heal it. So it's yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Someone else?
Judith or Isabel, would you like to go?
You go this time. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Yeshua, I don't fully understand the interplay between my creatorship and another person exercising their free will upon me. For example, if I'm the creator and consciously or unconsciously attract another person's hateful rage, it makes it seem that the other person didn't have a choice and that I welcome the hate in order to learn and gain wisdom. So, where and how does my creatorship end and another person's free will begin?
But you have a free choice in how to respond to anger or hate. You can choose to be triggered by it. There is a moment of choice there. Or you can choose to let it go and just see it as an unconscious response of the other person. And but on a deeper level, of course, you can ask, why do I attract such a reaction at all? Why does it cross my path? And if you no, want to know the answer to this, you could ask, imagine that this person who is hateful to me, imagine that he or she's a part of me. What part of me would this be? What part of me would feel such hate or resentment? And in if you would recognize this part, then you could start sending awareness. You be could become aware of it and send healing to it. Is that clear so far?
Yes, so in a way, I'm creating the hate in the other in my reality. True?
Well, no, you're not. The hate is already inside the other person. You do not create hate in someone else. But there are people who are get, for example, get angry easily because there's already a lot of anger inside them. They only need small trigger to get angry or hateful. So it's not that you create this inside them, but you it if you happen to meet such people often, then you could think of why does it happen to me frequently? I mean, is this the case for you? Do you feel that you are attracting this to you? Or is it more like a purely philosophical
That was
question?
just an example. I'm attracting certain situations of bullying, neighbors that bully me, or loud kids in a hotel resort where the kids could trigger me because they're so loud and obnoxious. So, in essence, am I creating the obnoxious kids? Am I creating the bullying neighbors? Am I creating the hateful rage at the grocery store from the other?
Okay, so yeah, so what I would like to tell you is that there is this goes back to what to a past life. It's actually not one past life, but I'm now focusing on this one. There was a past life in which you were a clairvoyant, so you were psychic. You had the ability to, and you also had some healing abilities. So you were able to tune into other people's energy fields, also illness, all kinds of problems. You were a medium, and it came to you very naturally, and you had this. It was strong inside you. You were also a man in that life. And so people, and it was more like a small community in nature, something not modern. And then you were a kind of healer, or what we now call reader, energy reader. And many people came to you, and even people started to, some people even started to really look up to you and worship you because you had really keen insights into what was going on with them. And but then there was some people in this community who felt very start to feel very hostile towards you because they thought that people listened to him more than to us. So these were people who were in charge there, and so they started to wanted to get rid of you, start to make plans to kind of talk bad about you, or they wanted to get you out to remove you from there. And they started to spread like evil rumors about you, and also started to, it seems like they wanted to poison you. And although you were aware of something happening against you were very passionate about your work, and didn't want to stop doing it. And at some point you were dying, you were poisoned. And And when you were dying, you could see it, like with your third eye. Psychically, you could see what you suddenly knew who was doing this. And it made you sad, but also angry, very angry, because it was not just that your life was threatened, but also the help that you would give to other people. It was really very genuine, good advice that you gave to people that this would end when they killed you. And so there was really rage inside you when you died. And this rage didn't end when you died. You took it with you to the other side, and somehow it still wants to be resolved. So there's now in your current life this rage can trigger events that, like the ones you mention, that somehow show you that there's something unresolved, because there's in that lifetime there was hate coming to you. They started with it, but it also ended with you hating them. So this strong emotional dynamics is somehow not resolved yet, and shows itself in this life with these incidents. Is that, can you relate with, do you understand?
I can, Yeshua. My main question is, how do I release all of this? What's the number one thing I could do?
Yeah, so the point
Because
is
I'm
that,
exhausted. I understand all of this. I'm just exhausted at this point.
yeah, right. So the point is that you need to look to tune into the rage that is in you. You cannot change other people. So they are, that's out of your hand. But if you would let go of that rage, then you would also attract these incidents much less. So, can you do this right now? Can you feel this part of yourself that who died in the other life as a healer and who felt very angry about what they did to you?
Yes.
Okay, so can you see him? Can you feel him?
Yes.
Okay, good. And ask him now, do you want to stay angry?
No, he's tired and wants to let it go.
Okay. Yeah, it's very exhausting. So ask him what would help you to let it go.
Writing a letter, even if it has to be un even if it can't be, just writing a letter expressing the true feelings of the other. And then putting that in a river and what and letting the water take it away and let it go.
Yeah. So you, this letter would contain your feelings. You would describe your feelings about what you felt? Is that what you mean?
Yes, and where you don't hold back.
Right. Yeah. So, but what you also need to understand is that these people who killed you in that life, they may not be ready for understanding your feelings. So what's most important is that this angry, wounded healer, that he is understood by you, that you understand him.
Okay.
Because he's very much in need of being seen and understood.
And that's one of my biggest issues is not being seen and understood with many people that I encounter.
Right.
I'm frequently ignored.
Yeah. So, but don't look at your at in that life your ad adversaries to be understood. The ones who hurt you, don't count on their understanding. It's nice if they do, but it's not the key. Don't depend on their response. So you need to see this angry, wounded man as a part of you, but it's not all of you. So there is this deep divine essence in you who's able to reach out to him and tell him, I completely understand you. I see what you did in that life, which was courageous, which you really stood out. You reached out to other people with no ego. You were really there for them and helping them in powerful ways, so powerful that the authorities turned against you. And so I understand, I admire your courage and that you allowed your soul's energy to flow out so freely. And I also understand your response of sadness and shock and anger. So if you truly tell him this and make him feel understood, then so you could also write a letter to him. So, and yes, you're saying this rage, which is still inside him, it's a part of you, is keeping you isolated. Because when you are in such a rage, your conclusion will be, I cannot trust other people, it's best to stay away from them. You know? But
Right.
that closes the door to also to people who do understand and appreciate you.
And it closes the door to wonderful opportunities, yes.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so it's like part of your soul has become frozen into this traumatic experience, but you absolutely have the power to release him. I'm sure that's also one of your goals in this life to do so, and that then you maybe also feel more safe to express these gifts, because you are working as a medium, you said, or
Yes.
yeah, feels like you would feel yeah, it would be more joyful and powerful.
There's more to unlock and discover, so
yeah
I think to open that up, there needs to be some additional healing. Yes.
yeah
Okay.
okay
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, Yeshua.
You're welcome. Hey, who's next?
I'll go. So I have a question about loss. In the first question, somewhere I said that I don't even like people. I don't mean it that bad, but I am a true animal person. And I've lost many animals over the past few years. My horse for 22 years that I brought to Montana, she died suddenly. I have rescued some horses that died or had to be put down. I lost my the heart dog, is how we say it, like the best dog of your life. She died over Christmas,
And I noticed that every time a little bit of me dies with them. When we talk about survival strategies, part of me, many times when things get rough, would actually be just to sit with the dog. Because then everything's okay, everything's good. There's unconditional love, and that's something you don't get from people and difficult to get from yourself, but a dog will give it to you. And I noticed that I'm hesitant, for example, adopting another rescue horse, and there are many horses that need a home. I've also been looking for a dog, and something in me is blocking something because I've not been able to find a dog while the shelters are full. So I'm like, something is really going on here. And then I'm now being thrown more into my own self because the comfort of a dog is gone. And then what do I do? And now I'm left with myself. I cannot comfort myself when things are rough. So the question is about loss and let's keep it, let's leave it here.
Yeah, so first of all your animals are still with you. They're still connected with you, and animals, they cross over, in general, cross over to the other side much more easily. They're not so much burdened with all kinds of emotional issues. So their love is very pure and they didn't leave you. So this is the first thing you need to know. And they appreciate so much the love and friendship and kindness you shared with them. So you are really on the brink of something new in your life, and there's a kind of paradox there. You are invited and challenged also to stand alone, meaning like really trust yourself and firmly walk your own path. So embrace independence and autonomy. And this, it may seem that this makes you lonely, but it's the other way around. If you embrace your independence, then somehow there will be always be people or animals around you whom it's joyful to connect with. But it's not like you completely depend on them. But they are there in a joyful way. So all these experiences of loss somehow want to push you and or challenge you to embrace this inner strength and independence. And it's very mourning the loss of an animal is very painful. But it should be it is more uncomplicated than with a human being, because there's a very very pure connection there with them. And your question is tied in with your first question. If you take steps now to release the past, also the ambiguous connection with Steve, and truly claim your freedom and independence, then also animals may cross your path again, but the connection with them will be a bit more free, like you are connected with them. But you don't It's not like you merge so strongly with them that you need them to feel peaceful, for example. It's because it will become more like you will become more like independent beings, and it's wonderful to hang out together, but you can also be at ease just with yourself, and you will even need it because often people who really are looking so much for a deep connection with someone else, they underestimate how much they need also to be by themselves to truly feel their own energy field and become really centered and grounded and be away from other beings, even animals. And so first to claim your own space and then from there to build, to create connections with others. This is your path. And you're really almost there. It's just you're it's like you're crossing a bridge. You're a bit insecure, but your life is kind of really pushing you or inviting you to take this step. Is that clear to you?
Yeah, I was guessing something like that. I thought there must be a reason that I have to do, like, I would call my dog my emotional support animal. I need to become my own emotional support person. And when I got that, then I can have a dog as a companion.
So there's a kind of parallel with the connection with Steve, right? This okay, yeah. Is it this clearly is it enough of an answer?
It's been hard, but I knew there was a reason behind it. Like, must be a reason. I'm just still by myself that way. I mean, there's horses in the field, but the dog was different. And the word independent, what would Jeshua, could he explain how that would feel like for me?
So, concentrate on your legs and feet for a moment, and I feel like your awareness really goes down into your feet and into the earth, and feel that you have a strong connection with your soul. It's like this cosmic connection going up, not out into the world to other people, but really directly with the divine part of you. It's a very lively connection. When you are connected like this, you cannot feel alone. You feel creative. You feel there's vitality, there's energy there. You feel alive. Can you feel this? And you feel it also when you work with the flower essences? Right. So this flow, he says that this is independence. How do you recognize it? You feel a joy, you feel empowered, you don't feel that you depend on anyone's specific reactions to you or what they may think of you or will they be there for me? So you feel really self-aware and confident. Confidence is like you feel that whatever happens, you will receive some kind of sign or knowledge or guidance from the inside, from this channel up. There will be a way out. There will be something new, something fulfilling, something powerful So this trust and confidence go together with independence. Yeah.
And I feel that connection has been, for me, has been forgotten over the last 6 to 12 months, focused too much out there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I felt that need and that urge to self-care and that longing is there, and I'll definitely
Yeah.
take more time for that.
Right, yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Isabel.
Yeah. I have my question, but it's beautiful because it's like David said, I feel all the questions and answers are so related to my own path. So I'm so grateful. And when you explained to me in the first question and now to Judith and all of us, it's like our connection with our soul is something we should be more aware of, like that connection with the world. Oh, I have been seeing the cross of Jesus Christ in a different way lately, and I feel it's so connected to the answer to my first question and now to the answer to Judith and all of us, because I was raised Catholic, so I always kind of saw the cross in a, you know, when in a suffering way. And lately, I have been connected to the cross in a different way, and I felt like this is trying to tell me something. So I feel that is one of the main messages, because I feel that the long vertical part of the cross is something I want to be more aware of. So and I will start doing what he told me, what you told me. So first of all, I wanted to acknowledge that and thank that to Yeshua, because it's so beautiful, both the answer and also he was trying to tell me that when I saw the cross. And I'm so touched by kind of finally acknowledging that. So it was so beautiful. Yeah. And my second question is very practical, which is so weird to me to ask a practical question in this. And I went to my doctor. I never go to a doctor. I went to my doctor last month, and she said you should go to a primary doctor to ask for your thyroid. She felt something here. So my question is concrete, but at the same time, I felt so scared of to find something, and I realized I'm always so scared to be sick. It's a big fear. It's not something small. Even to get a cold, I barely get a cold. I'm pretty healthy, thanks God, but there is a huge fear there. So that is something I want to ask. And also, if I have something.
Okay. So what do you fear the most about being ill?
Like the lack of the weakness that I can't, maybe the lack of control.
Yeah, right. So it's not fear of death, fear of lack of control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so there's something there which actually relates to your whole process. In a way, you need to release control more. So this is not about being, it's not about your physical health. This fear you have is a general fear about letting go of control. And and trusting. And so when you let go more of control, you get more access to your higher feminine energy. And this higher feminine energy contains your intuition, and your intuition can guide you also when it comes to matters of health, like see a doctor or not, these kind of things. Right now, the urge to control, which is born from fear, kind of blocks you from receiving this feminine intuition. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Yeshua doesn't want to say anything about your health because he feels it's not the main issue. But the main issue is this control thing. And he says, there is a. Do you feel connected with a particular higher feminine energy?
Mary Magdalene.
Yeah. Because there's. Because there, she, there is this higher feminine energy is directly. I see it behind you, like it wants to come through you, like through. Like literally, throat and mouth, like speaking and be expressed through you, but there is a fear to allow it. And this is related also to past life pain. Just a moment. There was a past life in which you were also female, and you were a kind of priestess or part of spiritual community in which the women were trained to be to what we now call channel or speak or receive messages. And so there I see a like a circle of women and who are receive this training from a kind of priestess who's in charge. But you are a very powerful channel, and you cannot stop it. When you get into this flow, you kind of just speak, and there's you there's there you won't hold it in. And so in a way, it's so powerful that this teacher, this priestess teacher, she's doesn't feel at ease with it because she feels you are more powerful than she is. In a sense, you are more genuine, you're more authentic. And so she tries to kind of isolate you or, well, yeah, like punish you and tell you that you have to be control yourself more, be more disciplined, listen to the, because there are rules in this community. It's not like very free. It's like there are certain, like with almost all spiritual communities, there's certain ideologies, some rules and dogmas. And so then you start to feel bad about yourself because you believe her. You are you are a bit naive in the sense that you think, well, she must be right, she's in charge. And so you start to distrust your own abilities to the point that you suppress them. There's really something going on there. It's something that happened also in later within the Christian churches, like people who were genuinely psychic and receiving messages that they start they were made to feel bad about themselves, like they were the devil was speaking through them, that they were not pure or possessed. Like these things were told to you, and you started to become afraid of this ability to channel. And so I see one image of you when you are there in this in a room by yourself in this community, and you are really depressed because you keep feeling this fire inside you that you this fire that connects you with the higher energy, this channeling fire, but you feel so that you really believe that you cannot trust it. And that and but if you push it aside, you feel without, you feel not alive anymore. You feel like suppressing your own essence. And so Yesh was saying it's really important to go back to this life, and maybe you can feel it now, and to help this woman who is a part of you. She's a part of you. And tell her that she was pure and really in touch with a higher frequency, and that she needs to be aware that in this community, which was there were some really lower energies at work. And to you can tell her that she can leave, that she can get out of there, this the and let go of all these judgments that were projected on her. Can you feel this?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what are you feeling right now?
You know, I saw this circle and me in there, and also me kind of trying to disappear in there, but I felt a kind of a big force kind of keeping me there, something inside me, like you can't leave, because if you can't, if you leave, you don't belong
Yeah,
to
right.
this world or whatever. But when Joshua told me invite her to leave, such a huge relief, and I see her leaving, kind of walking, like walking out of the circle. And as I walk out, away from the circle, I feel so light and easy and free.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, I can feel it too. Yeah.
and free. Yeah, it's
But you do not belong there. You didn't belong there at all.
yeah. Wait, it's so beautiful. Thank
Yeah.
you. Being free is beautiful.
Because and then maybe you can start to feel Mary Magdalene. She was also kind of forbidden, forbidden female. And I really strongly feel from Yeshua that if you start channeling yourself, you know, Mary Magdalene or yeah, whatever wants to come through, that it would be you would really feel yourself again, like really remember yourself. It's my experience with also in past life that we get really we go to spiritual communities because we feel different and we think that we are will be recognized there but often these communities themselves are very corrupted because they are just like worldly institutions. They are ruled by certain authorities, there's power issues, and so this can be very confusing.
In fact, I have a huge thing with rules and laws. I because I follow them, but when I moved to the US, I felt in jail because there are many rules and things you have to be polite and many things in my country probably too, but I was born there, so I used to. But here I fell in jail at the beginning, and I always said too many rules here, but I followed them. That's my problem. I just follow them,
Yeah.
and to yes, Oh, it so this opened a huge thing to me because I understand why I tend to do that. So it's amazing. Yeah,
Okay,
it's
great.
a
Yeah,
huge,
I could see
huge.
it too. It's wonderful.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's amazing. Yes, and related to what this life, because I, as you said, yes, it happens to me in the spiritual groups. I was in a group with a Chilean channel, and it's when you were talking to me about that life, I felt my experience with this Chilean channel and this group in this life was so similar to that experience. I finally had the courage to leave in this life. But it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. And I don't know if, I don't know, it seems so similar, kind of the same situation, but softer, you know, like.
Yeah. Be careful with groups.
Yes, and it was a huge deal to me to leave because I felt somehow I was living my spiritual life, which I then wasn't true because now after that I feel so much better about my spiritual life.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny that when you look at Yeshua's life, he was very solitary. I mean, there were these followers, his disciples, but they ended up also quarreling and fighting. But he was very like individual, and this whole idea of the church, it was not invented by him, right?
Yeah.
It became a very corrupted organization.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, so I'm glad you found a way out.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yes, thank you. Oh, it's such a relief. It's amazing. I feel wow. Thank you, thank you.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank all of you for sharing your questions, which are, yes, they are personal, and at the same time they touch all these universal issues that we're all dealing with. And so I will send the recording to you, and we'll end the session now.
Thank you, Pamela.
I hope you will get some sleep later today.
We'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's
Thank you.
great. It
Okay,
doesn't matter
goodbye then to you all.
now.
All
Thank
right,
you.
thank you.
Thank
Thank you,
you.
Pamela. Thank you,
Thank you.
Joshua. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you. Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Love to everyone. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.
Love
Bye-bye.
you. Love you, Joshua. Love you, Pamela.
Thank you.